Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, Chorley. Welcome to the Chorley Little Theatre. Please welcome a man who was at a West End premiere 2 days ago and is now in Chorley. It's Richard Herring. Thank you so much. Hello, Chorley. Love to see you again. Thanks for coming along. Love to be here. Let's see if anyone can beat the world's record for a walk out at Chorley Little Theatre. Nope. They haven't done it. I think it was a bit longer than that. Welcome to Richard Herring's Living St Anne's is a Toilet podcast. You know it's true. I won't know the toilet in Lancashire. I'll just wait till I'm in Living St Anne's and just go anywhere. So I was hanging around at Camelot theme park in Charnock Richard the other day. It was a bit quiet. There was a hen party there who'd been drunk there since 2012. And they called it Rahalastapa. Stayed at... On the way from a gig, in a Lee and Herring tour in the 1990s, we stopped over at Camelot theme park for the night and to stay in the hotel there, not to go to just because it was convenient on our way between two distant venues. And I was sharing almost a corridor with a hen knight, and I've kept awake all night by them, and I've just regretted for the rest of my life. I was single at the time. I was just gone and knocked on the door and said I was a stripper, shouldn't I? And just fucked every single one of them. That's what I should have done. But would have been the polite thing to do. But I just sat in my room too nervous to say anything. Look, it's lovely to be here. Me and my wife, I went to the premiere of the film Napoleon 2 days before recording. We didn't know it was a premiere, we just thought it was a screening. Luckily we were quite smart, but There was the whole red carpet being papped and everything. Ronnie Woods from the Rolling Stones was there with his granddaughter, I'm presuming. So nice. They were very close. We got papped on, me and my wife, we were just laughing because it felt like we shouldn't be there, right? It was proper stars. And then as we went down the road, we thought all the photographers are just going to stop taking photographs. And then just silence as we walk past. But the photos turned out nice. Someone on Twitter said, I put a nice pic up, and someone said, someone's punching. But the thing is, she's got a nice personality, so I don't mind. I don't mind about that. Right, look, we're going to crack straight on. We've got a fantastic guest for you this week. She's probably best known for her appearance on in Why I Love Geordie Shows. So it's Why I and Why I. It's very clever. We'll find out why she likes it. Will you please welcome the incredible Hayley Ellis, ladies and gentlemen. Hayley Ellis. Hayley Ellis. Why I? Why I? Why do you love Geordie? Which is Geordie Shore, isn't it, rather?
Geordie Shore. Yeah. I like the way you're trying to make it middle class. Shore. I just like trash TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
I've never seen it.
Not any reality TV.
I've seen some reality TV. I haven't lived in a fucking box. I haven't seen Geordie Shore. The only thing I've seen on Geordie Shore is when Sarah Millican dressed up as one of the people from Geordie Shore.
She did,
and it was
the
sexiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I looked at Sarah Millican and I can't have her on the podcast anymore. I want her too much.
Yeah.
But luckily she's gone back to not looking like someone from Geordie Shore.
I would say she sends her love, but she doesn't.
It's good to know. Look, it's terrific to have you on, and I've been watching your... let's talk about that straight away, because this is an incredible thing that's happened to you in the last few years. You've done a great special about it called...
What is it called, Richard?
It's called...
Just seeing as you've watched it, Richard.
It's called The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And during lockdown, you had... someone had sex with you, and then you had a baby.
I did have a baby. Yeah.
Wow! So she was unexpectedly. I mean, not you weren't planning to have a child.
No. No. I sort of gone off the idea because I'm quite selfish, really, and I like nice holidays. So I was quite happy, and then found I was pregnant. It was a little bit of a shock, but a nice shock. A shock. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you know you sort of forget. I mean, you don't, but you sort of do forget that is. It's just something that can happen, isn't it? It's and then it's quite a life-changing thing that in 9 months' time, suddenly there'll be another person.
Yeah, it happened to you twice.
It's happened to you twice, but we did sort of think we were going to do it, so it wasn't like a big surprise.
Right, okay.
I didn't just come home one day and my wife said, hey, here you go, change his nappy. It's sort of weird to think that your life can change that much because, you know, I think you'd sort of decided...
Yeah,
that wasn't going to be the route you went.
Because I had a dog and I found that difficult. I've still got him, so I was like, oh God, who's going to look after it? Me. But she's great. Yeah, you know, it's I've been to the cinema today. Been to watch Paw Patrol.
Oh yeah,
you go Napoleon.
Yeah,
I go Paw Patrol.
Oh, we've done a lot of those kind of things though. We're going to see a Bluey Christmas show.
Means something different up north, doesn't it?
The Australian delightful cartoon dog. We saw Bing. Did you watch Bing?
Oh, yeah, I can't stand Bing.
I know, we can't. I went to the live show of Bing in St. Albans, I think it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was in London. But it was on the day that England were playing, like, someone. They won 7-0 or something, and it was on the afternoon, so it was... It was actually during the World Cup or the European Cup or whatever, and I was sort of trying to watch it.
Did you have to meet them as well?
Yeah, I had my photo taken with Bing. he was a giant Bing.
Yeah, yeah.
Pando was in it, who's a cunt.
Yeah, it's the most irritating show I've ever watched.
I think if the live show involved, if they genuinely did this, I think if they just hanged Pando. At the end then the kids would be a bit traumatised, but the parents would walk out.
We'd love it.
You have to go and see this show. And I think not just they should kill the actor in there as well.
Yeah, just
so
as
they
a
hang the puppet thing. It's like a person in there, probably. No, there probably wasn't, actually.
We watched it in the night. I've been to see them all. We watched it in the Night Garden live.
Yeah.
Actually, they sound quite good in the theatre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oopsie Daisy really belts out a tune. She's got some notes.
Yeah. See, Bluey is good, though. I think Bluey is one of the greatest TV shows there is.
Yeah. Even for adults, it's brilliant because it's funny.
It's funny, it's moving, and even the book, you know, you get books of them, and the books are just like you read them and you start almost crying at the end. Like, there's one about, the book I've been reading to my son is about Bluey's, it's because I'm a dad, you know, but Bluey's dad, Bandit, not that I know all about it, has given up playing football because he has to look after the kids, you know, so he can't go and play football with his mates. And so then in their dreams, he says, when she wants to be a fruit bat. So he says, you can dream about being a fruit bat. And so she dreams of being a fruit bat. And then she dreams of going to see her dad playing football. And then she sort of thanks him for looking after them at the end. It never fucking happens. Yeah. They never thank you.
It's also passing quite a lot of trauma onto the child. It's like, well, I could have been the next Peter Crouch, but I had to look after you.
Yeah.
So you go and be a fruit bat, do what you like, but your dad's suffering.
But even though it's just a cartoon book thanking a dad and not my actual children, it makes me feel good. My daughter is very stand-up. My son told me I was the greatest dad in the world today. So,
aww.
So you know, it's kind of worse to have that.
But what did you have to do to get that compliment, though?
Nothing. I didn't do anything, really. I didn't. We had a little cuddle and he said, you're the best dad in the world.
Aww.
My daughter absolutely hates me. Like all women. It's amazing I've managed to procreate at all. Because women see through me, whereas boys do not see through me. Small boys and guys like you. Similar thing. Your special is, as a lot of people are doing now, it's up for free on YouTube. What's the thinking behind that? I mean, obviously you're on tour with another show now, isn't it?
Yeah, the thinking behind it is that no one would pay for it, so I just fucking put it out there. But I'm done now. I've done that tour, so I thought, I'm not going to sell anything, so I just put it out there. And the idea is you get people that haven't seen you before go, oh, this is good, and they'll maybe come and watch me on this tour.
Yeah, it's an award-winning show.
It is an award-winning show, So. Two awards. Oh, actually, no, one was for something else. I did win awards. I did the show here, the new show. And when I did it here, I hope they're not in. I don't think...
They will be. Is there not, man? There's not that many people in
China. No, trust me, these two wouldn't be in.
Okay.
So... Oh, no, now I'm worried.
Back for more.
Well... There was three people on the front. So there was two, I'd say, oh God, I don't want to get this wrong. So maybe in the 50s. And in the middle of them was quite a younger girl. So I just presumed, she looked very uncomfortable. So I just presumed that was their daughter.
Yeah. Think she's here?
It's not you, is it? Okay. So it was really, so the woman was sort of shouting things out. It was quite, and when I went to speak to them, it went really eggy.
Yeah.
So I said, is this your daughter? And it just went like it killed the whole room. It was like something really bad had happened. And I was like, oh, right, okay. During the interval, Ian, who runs the place, told me that the girl in the middle doesn't actually know the pair. She was in the pub coming to watch this show and they were pissed. And they said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to watch Hayley Allison Shawley Little Theatre. And they said, we'll come with you. Don't know him. Right. And there was two... what are the chances of this? There was two fucking tickets left. And they bought them, right? Yeah. These drunk people. They come here with her. She would... And the fella refused to sit next to his wife. He wanted to sit next to the young girl. So they'd had an argument. Right. This is what you get in Shawley, isn't it? Get this in the Soho Theatre, Rich. So they'd had an argument because he was sitting next to this 19-year-old and wouldn't sit next to his wife. God. Yeah, it was honestly, it was so tense. So every time I speak to him, she's like, why don't you ask him about it? And I was like, oh, my God. It was just really, the whole thing was just really, everyone was on edge around him. It was just very, very, just sort of like Mexican wave of egginess just went back. But then she was like heckling like weird stuff. So I'm from a place called Coniskey originally, so I'm talking about celebrities from where I'm from. And she just goes, my dad fought Jimmy Corkill from Brookside under a bypass in Skelmersdale. What do I do with that?
And the characters, not the actor. Is the vehicle. He had to pay the actor to play the character. To have
but I just sort of went like this, and she went, I'm not lying. And I'm like, if I didn't think you were, because if you were, you'd make up something more interesting, or like Mick Jagger or someone, Jimmy Corkill. But yeah, and then at the end, she come and spoke to me, and she I think she was on some sort of substance.
Yes, that does.
She told me she'd seen Chubby Brown a few weeks before, so that's sort of the clientele I drag in.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, but it's lovely to be back.
Not the last. When I did Lord of the Dance Settee here, this is what I was referring to, which is, you know, I've done some quite full-on religious material in my time.
Yeah, Christ on a Bike, I watched that.
Yeah, Christ on a Bike, and there were some moments in that. The opening, and I thought, Lord of the Dance Settee, I thought I'm going to do a show that's more, that, you know, maybe Live at the Apollo, something that could go on that, and that's more people-pleasing. The opening routine is about how I used to think the lyrics to Lord of the Dance said he were Lord of the Dance said he.
Right.
And that was as a child, and doing some stuff about that. And a woman got up, and I believe her date is in the audience tonight. It was on a date. She was on a date with a guy, and she got up and said, how dare they? They can't take... How dare he joke about Lord of the...
A settee?
Like a religious song, I think, was her.
Okay.
She was upset that I was doing a childish mishearing of the lyrics of that song. And so she left. That
well, she's
one of my
here tonight.
I think, I've been told, the person she was with, it was a first date, and I don't know how it went afterwards, not very well, I'm guessing. I think he stayed. But he was tweeting earlier saying he had a spare ticket to tonight's show as well. So maybe he's here with someone else that he's picked up in a... But maybe that's just what they're doing, surely.
Yeah,
they do. But it's good to see you again. Thank you for coming back. And let me know how the other date went. I think you did let me know how the date went. It was a while ago. So the standout routine in The Invisible Man for me, or that I presume is a true story, is about a cushion with a photo on it.
Yeah.
And is that a true story?
Yeah, 100% true. So... My granddad lives on his own. Nan passed away years and years ago. And he's like, the house is like a shrine to my nan. And there was a video that went viral during lockdown of an elderly man in a care home where the staff, he was sleeping with a framed picture of his wife under his pillow. And the care home staff got him a present, and the present was they bought him a pillow with his wife's face printed on it so he could sleep with that.
Yeah.
And my mum watched it on Facebook or whatever. She was like, I'm going to get your granddad one of those. And she ordered it. And when it came, I rung my granddad up, because I speak to him every day at the same time. And I said, have you had any posts? Because I thought it was weird he weren't mentioning it. And he went, oh, yeah. I said, what have you had? He went, a cushion. I said, what's on it? He went, I think it's your nan's torso. And then... My mum had to resize the picture. So when she put it in, she just clicked it through. And it had sent her a proof. We found out later it had gone to a junk mail.
Yeah.
So when it came, it just got this fucking... my nan's cardigan. You can see the buttons down it. But I do you know what? I wanted to tell it straight away. My mum was like having none of it. She's like, it's not funny. Spent a lot of money on it.
It's kind of sweet that he recognised her cardigan.
Well, you can just see the edge of a chin on it as well. But then she ordered another one as well, which I don't say in the show, because she was like, I'm going to make up for this. And she ordered a picture of me nan and her when she's a little kid on another cushion. She should have learned a lesson. And on the other cushion, it's come and it's just... enlarged picture of me mum, so me nan's not even on that one. So now he's got a midriff of me mum's head. Fucking Dennis Nielsen. So yeah, she's quit now.
Yeah. I'm not sure having a pillow with the head of the deceased person is that nice a gift. I'm not sure the original guy would have been that happy. Just wait. Ah! Because you'd wake up every morning and think, were you like really horrible?
Yeah, especially if you've got dementia or something. Like,
oh, she's here. And then you just think I mean, there are guys, aren't there, who like have as I understand it, make sort of women out of pillows and have
tell me more about this, Richard.
And have cartoon thing. Have like cartoons. I think they have the full body thing.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, I mean,
no, my mum hasn't ordered one of them for me.
But it's I don't know. I don't know if that's a nice thing to do in the first place. That's what I would say.
Mm.
But it's good that it's led to terrible disasters for your family.
Oh yeah, I love it. But with my mum though, I have to give it at least 6 months before I broach bringing it up. Like the other day, So I'm going to make this into a bit eventually. But she went round and she'd... there's just big clumps of garlic in the front of her garden. But not just like... What, there's like they're all like... No, like she's making focaccia or whatever it is. How do you say it, Rich?
Focaccia? Yeah. You said it right.
But it was all in the lawn, and I said, "Why? What's that for?" And she went, "Oh, to stop the cats shitting in my garden, because she reckons they're targeting her." Right? They're not. So when she reckons when she goes out to work, they go, "Right, Pauline's out. We'll get to go around and shit on this." But then I just thought it was really funny. She's like, I was like, "Well, you're not going to, you know, detract the cats, but you are going to attract Italian men." But it's just, their garden looks an absolute, and it stinks, and it looks hideous.
Yeah, it stinks of cat shit and garlic.
Yeah.
Has it worked? Has it stopped the cat shitting?
No, still doing it, still doing it.
I mean, cats will shit. Mm. That's what they do. I've got a couple of them and they love shitting.
Yeah, well, she reckons it's six. I don't know how she knows this because she's not in the house. She reckons it's six different cats.
That's some analysis.
Yeah, that is. It's like, she's been the lab. She's done the samples. But yeah, six different ones are targeting her house. So if you're in the North Wales area and you've got a cat, lock it up.
How does your mum... So does she... Because, you know, she doesn't... I mean, I'm not saying she comes out of it badly, but you are... You're, you know, very honest about her, and you sort of caricature a little, I would say.
Yeah.
Does she come and see you?
No, that's why I do it.
Okay.
She doesn't watch. No, she's been, I think, the whole time I've been doing this, she's maybe been twice.
Right.
And the first time she's seen that show, after it, she came up to me and I thought, oh, here we go. And she went, I'm going to have to go, otherwise I'll miss me bus. So there was nothing, no feedback, no well done. Yeah, but she got a bus home on time, so that was great. That was great for you.
It's a weird thing with parents, and that's quite a common story, I think, with parents not being able... Maybe it's a generational thing as well.
I think it's a stand-up thing, isn't it?
Maybe it's a stand-up thing, but yeah, the parents don't really say anything. Probably because they don't like it, I think. That's probably why. They don't like what we're doing, and so they don't tell us they like it.
Yeah, no, she's not one for affection. I know she loves me, she just doesn't say it very often.
It's the opposite of my daughter. I know she doesn't love me, and she doesn't say it. So that's all good. It's difficult to find stuff about you online, so I'm going to ask you questions, because there isn't... You haven't left much of a...
career?
No, you've got a good career.
Yeah.
There isn't much of a footprint there telling you... Most people, I can find out some details about their life. The best thing I've found out about you, I would say, is... This isn't even that good. You did a benefit for a vagina museum. That's the only tidbit I found. It's not a tidbit, is it? That's why I have not had much luck with women.
I did with Rosie Jones. There's a vagina museum in London. It took me ages to find it. But they were opening it, and I did the open. Sounds wrong, doesn't it? I was at the opening of the vagina museum. So surreal, because basically they've got a penis museum in Iceland. I think they've got a few penis museums.
Well, I went to the penis museum in Iceland for my book Talking Cock and my show Talking Cock.
Yeah.
So I've been to... There is a penis museum. It's only the penises of Icelandic mammals, though.
Right, that's disappointing.
So if you want to see the penises of any mammal that isn't indigenous to Iceland, human beings include... There is a human penis in there now. There wasn't when I went.
Right.
I left just left
mine. How many times
there.
Have you been, Richard?
I've only been once. I just left mine and said, "Oh, you missed one." No, in a local Nazi called Paul Arison finally died and left his penis, right. Presumably in a Hitler salute. I think it's there. I can probably say that about him. I think he was a Nazi anyway. But yeah. There is. So it's nice. It's nice. It's nice. There's a vagina museum. So the vagina museum's in London, not in Iceland.
No, it's in London. Yeah, they sort of were like, why is Andrea Hubert? I was talking to another comic, and she was like, surely the whole world's a male penis museum. But they wanted to do a vagina museum because there's penis museums. Yeah. Like, we should have a vagina. The vagina museum's really interesting, and so it's quite. It is actually dead interesting. They've got all stuff about like the pH in vaginas, not the spelling, like the thing that dyes your knickers different colours and stuff like that.
The acid and alkalinity of vaginas. Do they vary a lot? How far do they go?
Well, I don't know. I didn't really, because I was just sort of doing the show, but I've seen like little things on the way around. It's fascinating. Like the first dildo, they had like the first dildo and stuff about the...
That should be in the penis
it
museum.
It should be. I was just thinking that as I said it. I was like, fuck. The first thong, I don't know what. But it was fascinating because they had lots of like lecturers and stuff doing like speeches on vaginas and throughout the ages and things like that. And then I had to go on talk about my mum and a cushion. but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, good. Well, well done for that. So I don't know too much about you. What was, I mean, in terms of your journey is to become a comedian, what were you doing before you were a comedian and what made you want to be a comedian?
Lack of affection from parents is a big factor in me doing it. So I, before this, I had a few jobs, but directly before doing stand-up, I was working as a teaching assistant in schools. And that was heavy going because I was on supply because I just started doing this. I think I'd always wanted to do something entertainment-wise, I think. And I tried doing acting and I just wasn't good enough. So then I sort of did a bit of like a stand-up course. And then I sort of got my foot in the door that way. So I was doing teaching assistant work at the same time as starting out in stand-up. So I was on supply. So they just sent me to the roughest schools that no one else would want to go to, which was like pupil referral units. So for children being expelled from mainstream school, I'd be sent in. So I'd die on my arse in a gig in Hull. Right, and then I'd have to be up at 7 o'clock to go and then physically have a threat to my life in an area of Manchester by a kid called... I was actually going to say the name then, but you'll have to bleep it. But yeah, it was very full on.
So, you know, for most people, going to stand-up comedy is sort of terrifying, but for you it was sort of better than what you were doing in the daytime.
Yeah,
less scary.
Less physical threat.
Yeah.
I can deal with silence, you know. I've been my partner 10 years. But, one day I went to a school. I forgot about this. And the head teacher, I'd never been there before. And the head teacher sort of said, can I have a word? I'm not on supply, they never did this. She's like, can you come into the room for a minute? I've never been in the school before, so I thought, I've not done anything wrong. And then she was like, just to let you know, if you want to leave at any point, you can. So I was like, how fucking bad is this? Like, she's going to give me like a safe word or something. Because it was like,
wow.
Like a girl tried to set me on fire. Not even bonfire night, just like a normal month. I think it was February. And then I have a routine about it, which I do. Just getting the names I got called.
Yeah.
Like, you can imagine. Guess what I got called?
I can think of much worse things than the kids would say. Smellis?
No, we just got that in mainstream school.
Okay.
It was mainly like, you know, you prostitute.
Okay, it was not as witty as me.
Dirty slag, which was a guess.
I didn't realise I was going to be allowed to just swear at you. I thought if I'd known I could just say rude things, you would have been right in there to say,
just like,
this was an opportunity for me. Dirty, was it whore? Were you a dirty whore? So, you know, you don't get many opportunities like this, guys, and I've lost, I left. Sorry.
Just clip that bit dirty. but yeah, just everything.
Yeah.
So it sort of makes you bulletproof.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I can deal with a woman shouting out about having a fight with Jimmy Corkill and a breeze.
Because you are, like, you know, again, one of the awards you won recently was for Best MC, and you are kind of renowned for... And being an MC, it's kind of a hard job, and it's often a thankless job, because often the thing that happens with MCs is people come up to you afterwards and go, you're good enough to be one of the proper comedians, which is a real misunderstanding of what the job is, because they have to, a good host has got to be as funny as anyone, but also be able to get things going and judge the mood, right? What's the skill that makes you...
I don't know, I guess sort of being likeable without being too aggressive, because you need to lay down ground rules.
Yeah.
So people, it's not a free-for-all.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be too aggressive where they're like, oh, I don't like her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
shut the fuck up. Anyway. So you've got to be... Well, although sometimes I do that when it's Christmas gigs.
Yes.
I do, especially if I've had no sleep and my kid's been up all night, I will lose my rag. But, I guess it's being a sort of finding that even balance of being likeable and then wanting to talk to you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is that balance, because it's... You've got to... I mean, the teaching thing is the same thing. You've got to be in control.
Yeah,
but you've got to allow a little bit of... And, you know, you can't be a party pooper.
Yeah.
You've got to allow a bit of anarchy. But if someone misses the mark...
Yeah.
You've got to shut them down in an aggressive way. So it's very difficult.
Yeah, Christmas is the worst, as you know, because it's a lot of works parties who would never normally go to comedy.
Yeah.
And they are being forced to come and watch something they don't want to watch.
Yeah.
So we did a gig in Hereford, and it was like a brewery. We're on like a works night out, okay. And I was the MC. And behind the curtain, before I even gone on, I could hear them belching and like farting and stuff. And like they're like, and they're all like wetting themselves laughing at it. And I was like, oh God, I've got to go on. Ah, yeah. Like it was just, and they were like screaming stuff out and just chanting, like they were chanting to me, get your top off and things. Mm-hmm. Like that. But my boyfriend was like, oh, you're wearing that jumper, that horrible jumper. And I'm like, that's not why they're shouting, get your top off. Like, put a blouse on.
Just giving you fashion advice. Try this. Yeah. It'll suit you much better. There's the loveliest hecklers in the world rather than the disgusting animals they actually.
Maybe a V-neck glove. But it, and to calm that down, yeah, was just something else, because you sort of have to go, right, well, there's only so much I can do before they have to get security involved. Yeah. And they did get thrown out eventually, not for me, but it's like calming them down, but then also not, you know, making it for everyone else who's paid for a ticket and wants to listen,
yeah,
to it.
Of course. I mean, but also with MC is, if you know, you as a comedian, if you have a horrible gig, you come off and you go home, or you go to the, yeah, next gig and it's fine. If you're an MC and you've had a horrible bit, you've got to come back on, yeah, like two or three more times.
Me again? Oh, doesn't mean it. So if they don't like it, yeah, then you're there all night, yeah, and then you'll see them in the fucking car park as well, and they'll tell you they don't like you as well. So that's always fun when you can't get in your car. And someone's going, I don't actually like you very much. What do you think, Dave? Oh, just need to go now. Yeah.
Yeah. But you do very well, so that doesn't happen very much.
No, not very
luckily
often. No. I can tell you the dates.
It's interesting. All, you know, all comedians will. I mean, there are some comedians, you read their books and their autobiographies, and it's like they never talk about dying, and they never talk about having a bad gig. And I don't for a second believe it. Either they just don't have the awareness to know when they're not going well, which I think is true of some. They just believe every gig's brilliant because they believe, yeah, in themselves so much.
There are people like that, yeah, though. Like, I don't think he gigs anymore. There was someone, and I remember when I started, and he absolutely stank the room out, like, literally horrendous.
Yeah.
And then he come off and he went, I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really good. And I was like, fucking hell. And I used to think, I wish I had that lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
But now I don't. I'm glad, because I'd like to, you know, when I'm dying, at least I'm aware of it and I can, yes, go, yeah, I need to do better, or I need to do something else.
It's good to know, but I think it's sort of the very best and the very worst acts have that absolute self-belief.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a fine. If you're very good, luckily, it's okay. You can, yeah, be that arrogant. But if you're not good, it's sort of the worst thing that you could possibly.
And I just started and thought, I don't even have to tell any jokes. This is great.
Well, you know, it's great that you know that fuck off. I'm just going to talk to myself. Fuck off, Rich. You're a load of shit. Right, I was listening to you. Fuck off your shit at this job. Good.
Repeating what your daughter says.
I was just going to say, oh, it's great that you've done so well, and just fuck off. Fuck off. I did your job for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Look, I was listening to your... I'm really glad to hear Barry Dodds and you are doing a podcast together. I love Barry. He's been on before.
Yeah.
He's very special in every sense. How did you two get together and tell us a bit about the podcast?
So Barry's one of my best mates. He's a comic and he's one of my really good friends. We talk all the time anyway. So I know if you have a long car journey as a comic, you're always on the road, we'll chat. And then we thought, well, we should just do a podcast and see if other people like it and stuff. And luckily, because we've both got OCD diagnosed, and we worry a lot about everything.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we work each other up about stuff that we probably shouldn't worry about. It's called The Worriers, and we basically discuss what we've been worried about this week, and then people send in their worries and we answer it. But he's a joy to work with, and it's fun. It's just us having a catch up like we would normally do, but we just record it.
Sure.
Yeah,
and it's quite easy, you know. When I was listening to you, you were talking about, or maybe it was in one of the stand-up sets, talking about like how you kind of drive home and you're kind of furiously thinking about and worrying about stuff. So it is obviously like a you know, something you can joke about. But
yeah,
it's sort of an issue as well. It's a difficult.
Oh yeah, we're mentally unwell.
Yes.
But it's ridiculous stuff that we worry about. And it's nice because then you'll get people messaging in and they'll say something even more ridiculous. And you're like, okay, that makes me feel slightly better.
Yeah.
Because when I was bad with my OCD, and this is where it started off, I was worrying, this is before I got diagnosed as well, I was worrying that I was knocking people over on the road when I was driving, even though I knew I had it, I knew it was batshit.
Yeah.
So I was driving back round to check I hadn't knocked anyone over.
Okay.
bless.
I mean, it's nice. It's, you know, so consider it hit and run drive.
But then it like escalated.
Yeah.
This is where I had to go to the doctor. I mean, we laugh about it now. It wasn't funny at the time. So I was doing that, and then I went to I just had my daughter, and I went to Knowsley Safari Park, and I'd convinced on the way out there was two camels stood like blocking the entrance, and I had to drive through them. Not under the legs, like there was loads of space.
Yeah.
And I convinced myself in my head that I'd clipped a camel. Right. And I was checking the rear view. It's fucking batshit. I was checking. Is any mental health people in? I was checking the rear view mirror because I thought I'd convinced myself I knocked over a camel. But I couldn't go back in to check because obviously you have to pay again.
Yeah, you don't want to pay.
So I got home and I was in a terrible state. And I was saying to my boy, I mean, he puts up with a lot of shit. I was like, I think I've knocked over a camel. And he was like, you'd know about it if you knocked over every camel. The car would be dented to fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was crying about it and everything. Yeah. And because it'd be looking, then he was all right because he realised, you know, I'm unwell. And then I spoke to my friend who's he's got another friend of mine called Shay, who's got a lot, he's got OCD as well, and we were talking about it. And I had a gig that night, and I was like, I can't go. I'd worked myself up so much about it. And he calmed me down, and I went to the gig. And as I'm driving there, he rung me to check I was all right, and he went, I'm not even like made this up for a stand-up routine. He went, are you all right, have you still got the hump? I was like, I'm not. But I had, luckily, I'm medicated now, so I don't have these instances as often.
Yeah, is it? I mean, you know, obviously, like it's a bit bigger than this, but you know, obviously, a lot of comedians are getting diagnosed with various things, and I wonder whether, you know, there's something. You know, I've got it that to a tiny degree where I'll go back and check the front door's locked, you know, four times and all that sort of stuff sometimes. So you know, that's not as good as knocking over a camel. I'll give you that. Do you think it's part of what makes comedians that they look at the world in this way, and that worrying about things is a way of, you know, in an exaggerated way, is a way of creating. You know, it's similar to the way you create comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I catastrophize a lot. I worry that I've upset people a lot. It's another thing which Barry's similar to me, and that's when we talk about that.
Yeah.
A lot, especially when we do the live shows, because we do live shows now.
Right.
So we're like the worst, because we'll do a live show and go, do you reckon we should have said that? Some of the two worst people, but the best people to work with at the same time. But yeah, comedians, I think a lot of comedians are like, sort of got some, like you say, they have something that makes us the way we are.
But also by talking about it, I think, you know, it's obviously helpful for other people, but and for you as well, because you, the minute you, I think what's great about comedians generally is that you know, we'll talk about things that most people would be too embarrassed to talk about,
yeah,
or would be ashamed to talk about, or you know, or what, you know, and actually if they see somebody else talk about it, they go, oh, I don't have to be ashamed about that, or it can be funny, or it can be interesting, just good to talk about.
Exactly, yeah, and we have people messaging us as well saying, oh, it's nice, refreshing to laugh about it,
yeah,
instead of having all this. But I used to do this bit, and I can't do it anymore because it's, not only is it unrelatable, no. Do you know, like, you do one thing, you think, there must be someone who's also mentally unwell who does this. And there was no one. And so I used to, I can't remember if I'm going to admit this on it, but I used to, as like, you know, before gigs,
yeah,
someone told me that if you put water on your earlobes, it helps calm you down.
Okay.
And on your temples. And I started putting it in my belly button. And then it became a thing. And I started talking about it, and people were like, no. Like, at mental health nights as well, like, people at mental health nights were talking the full range of the spectrum. They're like, ooh, why are you doing that? And I'm like, oh, God. There's nothing. And I put it online as well, because, like, they're knocking people over. So, a thing is, I didn't realise, like, when I Googled it, there's stuff there with other people saying,
yeah,
various different things. This water in the belly button, nothing.
No one's ever.
Not even on the dark web. There's nothing. So I've had to knock that on the head, you know?
Yeah. It was good to find the one thing that makes you an individual.
That's why I'm not on live with the Apollo.
I'm going to start doing it. Just out of sympathy, Richard, for you, so that you don't feel that you're the only one who does it. So, how much water do you have to put in? Is it full? Are you sort of limboing on? But assuming you're an innie, you might be an outie.
I am an innie. An outie would be pointless, wouldn't it? It'd just be pointless.
Yeah.
Your wife is going to be like, why is your stomach wet, Richard? That's what the hell is. It's water.
Well, yeah, it's a great one. The one I listen to is great. And, but, you know, I love, both of you are terrific. So it's the Warriors. Do look out for that. And if I found out through listening to this, you're trying to avoid wheat and dairy.
Yeah, so I've done this... I'm in a terrible mood. So I'm done these, like, I feel like shit all the time at the minute. I think it's just because of my age, but I'm refusing to admit defeat. So I've done, like, these intolerance tests. So you send away your blood,
yeah,
and they sort of say what food you're reacting to. So I sort of thought I was wheat intolerant anyway, because when I have pasta, I feel like horrendous after it. So it's come back. It tests you against 250 foods. I eat 4 foods, and I'm allergic to the 4 foods that I fucking eat. Okay. But I can have octopus, apparently, okay, and tiger nut, like a fucking Bush Tucker trial. But I can't have bread, can't have milk. And it says, it breaks it down in the forms, it's like, and you can't have milk. It says cow's milk, then it's like goat's milk and sheep's milk.
Yeah.
I was like, the fuck's eating sheep's milk? Oh no, a pint of sheep's milk's gone. So I can't have any of that. I'm a vegetarian anyway, so I don't eat meat or fish. And now I don't eat dairy. I don't eat wheat. So I just eat crisps now.
Yeah.
But it's meant to make you more healthy, but I'm just eating crisps.
Eating bad stuff. Well, I'm doing a diet where I had to send my blood in and stuff. But
yeah.
It's not quite the same. But and so, yeah, they recommend foods that will keep your blood level, you know, without peaking.
Yeah.
So I've started making... Yesterday I made bread out of oats, seeds, nuts... And something called psyllium. I don't even know what it is.
I'm allergic now. It's on the list. No idea.
And it's quite nice, though. It's not really bread, I wouldn't say. I'll have some back at my hotel. You could come back and try.
Ladies.
It's for my breakfast. I'm not sharing it. It's sort of all right. But so, you know, I wonder if you could do something like that. But it
how long does that take, though?
Well, it's quite easy to make. It just takes a couple of hours once you...
Hours?
But you just mix it all together in a tin, leave it for a couple of hours, and then put it in the oven for an hour. So it takes time, but you can do other stuff.
Yeah, but it takes 2 minutes to open a bag of crisps.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I should be having, like, overnight oats and stuff like that. I should be doing that, but I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm either going to get rickets or I'm going to have to tap out. I'm giving it a month, so I'm going to see how I get on.
Yeah. How far into the month are you?
One day. No. 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Honestly, I'm so irritable as well.
Oh, yeah. So you know, it's not making you feel better?
No, it's making me fucking angry.
Yeah, okay.
Like, because I just love butties. I love butties. I love cheese. And vegetarian cheese, vegan cheese, I just can't find a nice one. People have sent me recommendations, and I'm working my way through the list at the minute. Yeah. So maybe I'll make your special bread and
I'll make your loaf and send it to you in the post. I think you'll be all right. I think you'll survive the journey.
So what have you got to cut out then?
It's sort of more about substituting stuff to make it. So, like, I can... It's just... Yeah, well, the things that are bad are the obvious things, like sugar. And Solero. I used to eat a Solero a day, at least.
A day?
But now I have one every 3 days. That's my little trip.
If I've had a good day,
I'll... So if you can eat nuts and stuff, and avocados are really good. And
yeah, nuts are on my list.
You're not actually nuts. You can't have my bread.
I pull it out to my boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, I can't have that either. That's on the list. I can't have nuts either. Avocados, I can.
Yeah. So it's like, beans and stuff like that, and vegetables. It's obvious, really.
Yeah.
But Katie's doing it as well. My wife's doing it as well. And her it's different scores depending on who you are. So things are different.
Katie's like an angel, though, isn't she? I bet she whips up like an absolute feast with just some beans or something.
No. I've been cooking everything because I've been doing this. I've been cooking nearly everything for the last 3 months. She's having the time of her life. And it is quite nice. But it's stuff I would never have eaten before, like tahini. A lot of tahini. I'd never eaten tahini before.
Never even heard of it before, actually.
Yeah, it's quite nice, though.
What is it, like a hummus thing?
It's like, it's part of hummus. It's when you make it, you put it together with hummus. Are you enjoying this? I don't know how much, how entertaining this is. But, I'm enjoying talking
to you. It's entertaining. It's useful for me, though.
Yeah, that's what, that's what this is partly about. Mm. It's partly about that. So yeah, well, that's... But you've sort of got to eat what you like as well. So it's,
I'm miserable.
But then if you're genuinely allergic, then it's...
I don't think I am. No. I was absolutely... It made me happy. I think I'm allergic to happiness. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Be happy. I'll tell you what makes you happy. A Solero a day keeps the doctor away. That's what they say.
I'm surprised you haven't turned like an orange tinge.
So nice. It's only 99 calories. I used to have it because I used to do calorie control diets. and it was 99 calories, but it's really fun. And you only want one. The problem with me is if most sweet things, if I eat one of them, or a pack of crisps, I'll eat the whole thing.
Why'd you just munch your way through a box of Solero?
I could do, but a Solero, I stop. I have one and I stop. Once you pop, you can't stop. A Solero have not been in touch with me yet to offer me a contract.
I can't understand why.
And you could be like me if you only eat Soleros. Imagine, how long did you last if you only ate Soleros and nothing else? There's a bit of fruit in there, right? There's mango. And
One eat five a day. During the summer, I think I could do that for a month.
Yeah.
And absolutely smash it.
I might do. You know the guy who did only ate McDonald's for a month, didn't he? And went and then nearly died. I'm going to try a year of only eating Soleros. It's got milk in it. It's got to be good for you, right?
I just love to see you glowing.
I'm only eating the exotic ones. I'm not eating the mixed berries. They're fucking dog shit.
No, do you have...
That's what might be why Solero's not so interested.
It's dog shit.
Buy Solero's. They're great. Not the fucking mixed berries. Dog shit. I'd rather eat dog shit. Genuinely, I would.
Over a Solero?
Over a mixed berry.
Over a mixed berry Solero, you'd have dog shit.
I'd eat frozen dog shit.
If I would have known that, I would have brought them on like a plate and we could have done a trial. They don't have jokes either, do they, on the Soleros?
No, they don't. Is there jokes on any lollies anymore?
Yeah, the mini milks, I think, still do the do a joke. No, they don't. disappointed. No.
I think you're living in the 20th century. I love that man knows, though. No! I have been buying mini milks in the hope of those jokes coming back. I hope you've got kids, mate, because it's a fucking weird... Get a grown-up lolly like a Solero, mate. Sophisticated. Let me ask... I'll ask you some emergency questions just because people will be cross if I don't. I'm going to go from the book Would You Rather?
Yeah.
Which is... this is suitable for children, this book. Unlike all my other books, my editor was rigorous and she cut out a bit where I said, would you rather be sucked off by a tornado or something? I wasn't even allowed to say that. Let's have a look. Okay, I don't know if I can say this one.
Okay.
I've never asked anyone this. Would you rather suffer from arachibutyrophobia, which is, if you don't know, is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth.
Okay.
Or hippopotam monstro sequipedaleophobia, fear of long words.
I'd quite like peanut butter in my mouth at the minute because I'm not. It's on the list. I wouldn't mind that.
No.
Yeah.
Even if it's stuck, it's that claggy thing. If it's stuck at the top of your mouth.
I just enjoy having nuts in my mouth, but I don't. That wouldn't bother. I don't use long words, though, as you've gathered during this interview. So
why has it got hippo? I can't find the question now, but why is it hippopotamo monstro? That can't be it. Why does it start hippopotamus? Hippopoto monstro. That's not the fear of long words. Why is there hippopotamus in there? That means water horse.
You wrote it, didn't you?
I didn't create the words.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'll try another one that's not so terrible. If you could change one thing about the human body, that's for all of us, which one thing would you rather change?
Ooh.
Is there anything you think could improve humanity?
Oh, for humanity, I was just thinking of myself.
Well, it could be yourself, but it's every. Yeah. If we're going to make a change, it's going to be a change to every single person.
Give Michael Jackson over there. Yeah. Make a change real good. God, that's really tough, that. I've got to think about humanity now. I was just thinking.
Well, think about yourself.
I have a smaller nose. for the great of other people. What would you
do? You've got a good. I'd go bigger with your nose if
bigger.
I
was. Bigger? Yeah. No, I don't need to give caricatures something to add to the list.
I like a big nose on a person.
Do you?
Yeah. Something to hold on to, isn't it, for a start. And I think it just gives a bit
what
of...
What are you doing during sex?
It's big enough. It's a good bit of character, you know, a little petite nose is too...
Is Pinocchio like porn for you, then?
No, because it starts small and then gets big. It has to be big. It has to be big all the time.
Oh, God. I'd mean maybe cut out the part of the brain that could be selfish.
Okay, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
But would that could be a Ricky Gervais film. That's how good an idea. That's how good an idea we've got there. And you get rid of selfishness and then we discover the world isn't quite as good as we
thought. That we actually need selfishness.
Yeah, it might be quite good, though. It might be good if no one was selfish. But then it would be... I think it would just get irritating because nobody, everyone would be going, no, after you.
Yeah.
No, nothing would get done. You need those. I sort of feel like all the parts of society that are unpleasant and awful, they're sort of necessary, nearly all of them are necessary at some point for survival, right? So selfishness is necessary for survival. Probably being like patriotic and even, you know, xenophobic is probably helpful at certain points. The points where, you know, the people who are absolute cunts who will kill everyone and run into, you know, you need them in a war. So it's at a certain time. People who are absolute fucking cunts.
This is a recruitment speech.
You'll need them, isn't it?
Speech.
If you're fighting the aliens, you need them to run in and shoot them with big, big guns. So everyone's got a purpose, but then, you know, so...
Yeah, and also if my partner wasn't selfish, I wouldn't have stuff to say on stage.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever you do, there's going to be some repercussion, isn't there?
You would change things too much with that. And also you're starting doing brain surgery on people. It's sort of...
I haven't got to do it, have I? I've got to make the change on every
you've
person.
You've sort of started talking about cutting out part of people's brains.
Do you know what it is? I watched Saw 10 the other night and he has to remove part of his brain. I think that's what it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you watched all
the other... You watched Napoleon,
Have you watched the other 9 Saw films?
You don't need to, Richard. Okay. You can just dip in and out of
them. Just start at 10?
Yeah, start at 10, work your way backwards. Yeah.
Have you watched the Human Centipede, the film The Human Centipede?
I have seen that, several times.
If you... If you were a mad scientist was going to put you in a human centipede, but allowed you to choose the person in front of you and the person behind you, who would you like?
Oh God!
In front of you and behind you.
So I get to shit in someone's mouth.
Yep. How about
someone has to shit in my mouth? Yeah. See, instantly I was going to say Mark Owen in front of me, but not now. So like Mark Owen from the 90s.
Right. Okay.
But also, he looked like he ate quite healthily as well. Yeah. It's probably like the similar diet I'm on now that would be going in. Behind me, Gillian McKeith. See how she fucking likes it. Yeah.
Very good. You've been in the support act for quite a lot of big comedians. Mm-hmm. Who is the biggest monster that you've been in the support act for, and is it Sarah Millican?
I did tell her I was coming on this, and she just went, Richard who? and I had to explain, and then she remembered.
Yeah.
It took a bit, though, about 10 minutes.
It's fine.
Sarah, no, I have actually done support for you, weirdly.
Have you?
Well, not... Yeah. Not actual proper support. I was MC when you were doing an Edinburgh preview, so it wasn't support. Just killed the room before you went on. That was when it very first started. No one's a monster, really, that I've done it for.
You've done quite nice acts.
I've done lovely acts, like Sarah, Jason, John, Bishop. So, yeah, they've all
Roisin
Connolly, yeah.
Yeah, you've been...
Kerry Godleman.
Oh, she's nice as
well.
Yeah,
they're all lovely.
There are some bad comedians out there.
There's some awful.
People are starting to find out. But you've managed to avoid them so far. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are all... I mean, it'd be terrible if Roisin Connolly turned out to be a terrible predator of some kind.
No, it just wouldn't. She's just an absolute delight, as they all are.
Yeah, they are. No, good. Well, there's no... nothing we need to cut out then, unfortunately.
No.
Luckily. like me, you've done a job I've done, which I managed to do for a week, I think.
What's that?
Which was right for Russell Howard's Good News.
Oh, yeah?
But you've managed to do a series, I think.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing, like... So I was watching, like, the regional news.
Okay.
So, but they give me, like... They give me a specific news channel, and it was just fucking tragic. So what you do is you watch like it wasn't Northwest Tonight because that's fucking bants, that's fun. and you'd watch it and go, oh, here's something funny, that something's happened. No, and they go, oh, an otter got stuck today in a sock. And then I'd look at that and write jokes about it. But they give me a channel, and it was like 17 people died today. And I had to watch that for half an hour every night, and it was just like miserable. Story after miserable story, like a serial killer, and I'm like, oh, fuck, there's no jokes in there. I had to try and like come up with stuff, and it was like, yeah, it was hard.
Oh, right.
And then they switched me to Northwest, and I was fucking on a book. I was like, this is great.
I ate all those. There were big bowls of Haribo, and I just kept on eating the Haribo.
That's probably why there's none there when I went.
That's why I had to leave.
Freezer empty of Soleros.
It was in the days when I would eat Haribo, but again, Haribo, I can't leave. They put Haribo. They're very nice here at Troy Little Theatre, like too nice. No one ever does Riders. And there's like 100 sandwiches in my room. There's some Haribo like laid out like it's a shrine to Haribo, like in little packets. There's, I will talk about it, there's Chorley cakes, should have mentioned, I'll talk about that. There's lots of different Chorley cakes.
They're seething now because they're like, I should have got Soleros.
They got Soleros, they would have tested me. They usually bring an ice cream in the interval. Don't bring an ice cream in the interval. I'm not eating ice cream. I don't need any ice cream, and don't bring me something.
They've got a big box of Uncle Joe's mint balls as well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
But I've managed not to eat a thing, which is sort of quite rude, when someone's brought a load of sandwiches. Apparently the people working on the panto are going to have a great feast tomorrow because we're not eating any of the stuff. I can't believe how quick... I thought we'd done about 20 minutes.
How long have we done?
We've done like 8. We're nearly finished. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Did you used to have a rider? Have you ever had a rider?
In the early days. But I think the 90s were just different. So you would do a theatre and we weren't even doing very well. And I'm sure you paid for it because at some point. But there would always be like a big platter of sandwiches at least.
Yeah.
We didn't really say what we wanted. But I think you could occasionally say what you wanted. But we'd have dinner, we'd come to the theatre, have the sandwiches, and then we'd do the show, get drunk, and then go and have a curry afterwards.
Fucking hell.
It was great times.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was a young man, so I could get away with it.
That's the thing, I look back now, and I used to do a gig in London, so I was living in Manchester at the time, and the money was dog shit, but I got a free curry.
Right.
And I used to fucking love it. And I'd drive sick. I didn't need to get there in time. So I'd set off at like 10 o'clock to make sure I got there in the time to have enough curry.
Yeah.
And then I was losing money doing the gig.
People don't... I think promoters and people who work in theatre don't realise how stupid and cheap comedians are. That genuinely, that kind of thing... you know, I think I come back to this theatre all the time. They're very nice here.
Yeah,
and I will always come back to this theatre if they want me. But, you know, it's sort of just... not, it's nice just to be true. You know, like, if you get a little of something backstage, you go, oh, yeah, I like this place. Whereas, you know, the theatres then started just charging you. Like, if you had a bottle of water, you would get charged for the bottle of water. You know, so they would tell you you're going to get paid charged.
Just looking at that glass, thinking how much of a drunk.
I think we're okay here. So, yeah, so it's, you know, it's kind of... things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
But any pot... I've had a couple of, like, musicians. Fucker. I present Top of the Pops. I don't know why. I had my own Radio 1 show and my own Six Music show. Pop musicians. We've had a couple of rock stars on this tour. And they've sort of come backstage expecting there to be booze and everything laid on, you know, which I don't think many comedians...
No, and it's just your nut bread there.
But Lee Mack was a bit upset there was no food backstage. And I said, oh, I've just made myself a chili. And he said, you could have offered it around.
Just out of a bag.
Out of a little flat vacuum. I make my own food now and bring it in a vacuum flask.
Oh, God.
I'm 56 years old. Looking good though, aren't I? Look at this. I mean, you know, what's the point of 56?
What are we looking at? Sorry, Richard.
I'm slightly thinner than I used to be. What's the point? I'm 56. I should have done it when I was 23, when I was in that hotel with all those girls. So look, we'll quickly talk about what's coming up. This won't go out for ages, but it may help. You're doing a current show, which is called Hayley's Comic.
Yep.
Is that then you're touring that in 2024 as well? You've been doing it through...
Yes, it's going through 2024. Yeah. So I'm doing some tour support for Sarah again, which is lovely. Yeah. If you want me to pass on any messages, I won't.
Say, ask her to dress up as George Shore again. Send me some photos.
So I'm doing that, and then I'm doing my own tour as well, which is going throughout the year. When will this go out? 2026? 2027?
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably I might hold it back a bit now. It'll go out, I think, in about, I don't know, let's see. I would say about April or May. So it's going to be next year.
So I'm doing that. I'm just surviving.
Yeah, and winning awards and being a mum. Being a surprise mum. And yeah, are you enjoying the surprise of being with your daughter's three now?
Yeah, she's great. She's started asking for stuff now, and you can have conversations now at three, which is lovely. Because he doesn't talk to me anymore, so it's nice to have someone in the house that does. She's just nice. Yeah. It's just nice. I like that, like, innocence of being happy, like, enjoying stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Nice. I sort of miss it. Katie wants to have another baby. We shouldn't talk about this on the podcast. I really don't want to have another baby.
You've got to.
Because I'm 56. I was just thinking, when I'm 70, I might be able to sort of start doing things again.
Yeah, I know.
And then if we have a baby now, it's like when I'm 80. When I'm 75, I'll be free to go on holidays again.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Because everyone, as soon as you have one, everyone's like, when you're having the next one, you're like, oh my God, I've still got placenta in me. And you're asking me, like, but then you just start getting back to normal, and then
people. I think once you've got through the first 5 years, there's a bit. I mean, I've loved it, but I do love it's so lovely when they're little. But once you're through the first five, you kind of think, do you want to go back and do that for another 5 years? Even if you're doing two at once, then at least you get through it a little bit.
How close is the age gap between yours two?
They're 2.5 years.
So right, okay. So you're sort of like in the thick of it, and then you've had the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You should.
Okay, we'll do it. That means I have to have sex a third time. We'll give it a go. Hayley, it's always lovely to see you, and thank you,
you
so much for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the amazing Hayley Ellis.
Thank you.
Well, we'll come back next week. We've got more. You have been listening to Rahulastapur with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Hayley Ellis. Scant regard, do the music. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and Ben Evans, not that one. I thank you also to Ben Cliff and George Lingford and everyone at Chorley Little Theatre. What a wonderful place it is to be, unlike all the other shit-ups. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Mom
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if you enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.